I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
I said, hey, listen to me. Listen to my words as they vanish. Chase the sun.
Hello and welcome back to the Dad Podcast. This is episode number 9. We have had a humongous hiatus, although those of you playing catch up who have found the show in 2027, you did not notice a gap at all. But let me tell you something. It was big. It was vast. The year 2012 was known as the 2-week gap. here's what happened. I was supposed to do a Father's Day episode with my dad, a special one. And then he had to work because he's a freaking overachiever. Bullshit.
On Father's Day?
Yeah. Oh. On Father's Day, my poor father had to work. And then on the way back, his work ended up the following week. He was like, oh, well, I'm going to be going to Arizona. And then he's like, I'll come back by on my way home. And I'm like, oh, we'll do the podcast then. He's like, great. And then he just got a call going, I have to go straight to Clovis. So he couldn't come by. What is tomorrow as of when we are recording this? Blah, blah, blah. Yakety schmackety. Here today with me, as you probably already saw in the title and or the description, depending on which order you read these when you open them, is my best friend, my dearest friend, Kevin Miller, because Kevin is an expected father. His son is soon to be born in the month of September. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're listening to this in 2027, that means that he is 15 years old.
Good math.
Nailed it. Daddy
I'm
does
impressed.
It.
Is that right?
Probably not, but the scotch doesn't help you.
No, it's whiskey.
Yeah, right. Daddy likey. Jack Daniels, honey.
Just getting ready.
So I had a listener who, I can't remember which podcast he started listening to, because Kevin and I do a podcast for video gamers called The Second Funniest Podcast.
It's really good.
It's awesome.
And it's very different from this.
Yeah. Because occasionally I still talk about my kid. But anyway, he called in and he wrote in and said, hey, you know what would be fun is if you had Kevin on the show pre-becoming a father, and then we have you again. We do a little bit, you know, Nutrisystem before and after with you.
Which I'm excited because I have a lot of questions.
Really? Yeah, That's not how I thought this was going to go.
Oh, really?
I thought that I was...
Have you met me?
Uh-huh. I've known you. I'll give you a quick backstory. Kevin and I have known each other for 15 years. This is where the math gets hard for me. 1997. Wow. So, yeah, 15 years.
Oh, wow. No, like, yeah.
Yeah, bro.
No, that's right.
Yeah, 3 years to 2000, then plus 12.
Right, because then in 2027, that'll be 30 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and Titanic will have been out for like 27 years.
It'll be 40 at that point. They'll be spinning ice at you. I hate that. Whenever you go to an amusement park and the fourth dimension is saliva. Bullshit.
When I was a child, I begged my dad to tell me what the fourth dimension was, and he told me... He said, this is so great that it's on this show that I'm telling the story. He said, there are actually 5 dimensions, and if you behave yourself all weekend, I'll tell you what they are. I do not remember ever being nicer or kinder or listening to everything he said, because I was in love with the old 60s movie Time Machine, mm-hmm. in which they said, you know, we've discovered the fourth dimension, not height, width, or depth, but time is the fourth dimension. And I geeked out about that when my dad said, so I thought I had a handle on the fourth dimension, time. When he said there was a fifth dimension, I spent my nights just like, is it like outer space? What is the fifth dimension? So finally, like on Sunday afternoon, I come into the room. I'm like, hey, so I'm hoping you can tell me what the 5 dimensions are. He's like, oh, yeah, let me see. They are Tommy, Dave, Rick. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, the 5 dimensions, they're a band back in the day. And I was like, I don't remember my dad reacting much and like feeling sad or feeling sorry for a joke that he would do, but I must have looked crushed because he instantly engaged me in this conversation of the fourth dimension. He's like, oh, well, you know, that's just kidding, but you know what? What do you know? about the fourth dimension.
All of a sudden, the birds and the bees talk is less awkward.
Yeah. And realizing it was one of those moments where early on, because it was my stepdad, of going, oh, this guy doesn't know everything. Yeah. Oh.
See, and it's also weird because I feel like I talk about this a lot on the show, that there's a different shift that's happening now amongst fathers than what we grew up with. Mm-hmm. That fathers that we grew up with could just do shit to you and it didn't matter. Yeah. Now, I have really hard moments. Like there's a moment that I had this last week with Jacob where somebody was kind of poking fun at him, and I was like, hey, wait a minute, you know, like, and I'm like, he's I don't want him to get offended or hurt or anything, but then I'm like, wait, no, that's, it's okay, everybody comes out okay, you know. But I don't think that little moment of ever happened to our dads. Hmm. Like that doesn't cross their mind. You know, that
not your dad. I met him.
Well, that's what I was so bummed about.
He worked on Father's Day.
He does. And he works all the time. That's all hilarious.
He's a millionaire.
And he owns
multiple properties.
Yes. Yes.
He cooks tri-tip for breakfast.
My father. We'll talk about my father a little bit, then we'll talk about you. But. And by a little bit, I mean 40 minutes. he got angry at me because I took a picture of... He has an outdoor shower. This is hilarious because he was like, why are you talking about this? He was like, you shouldn't be talking... Now I'm going to talk about it on my podcast. So he has an outdoor shower at his cabin. And have you ever taken a shower outdoors? Besides the one like at the beach. I'm saying a fully nude, exposed to the elements, shower with soap and everything.
I feel like I have, but I cannot recall the instance.
Yeah, I guess I should preface this post pubic hair.
Yeah,
because I feel like if you're doing it and you're four, you're not really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's what I may be thinking.
That just seems like a sprinkler party.
Right, right.
But if you're, you know,
been to a few of those. Yeah, no, I can't. I've never been to a camp or would have had a need to go in one of those septic tanks where they can do that. Yeah, no.
I can't get the sprinkler party out of my brain. I just imagine.
Welcome to the sprinkler
like
party.
Like a 4-year-old me going, pointing to my junk, going El Toro. That's only funny to Mexican landscapers.
Are there any adult sprinkler parties? Craigslist, yeah. I'm sure. Cuddleparty.com.
So anyway, I took the shower and I loved it. Like at first I was kind of making fun of him because he's demoing his bathroom, like he's redoing it, and I helped him demo it. But then because of the kids, I can't come back up there and help him out. And
they won't let you. Don't leave us, Daddy.
Don't leave us alone. Don't leave us alone.
Do you don't know what mommy does?
She works 8 hours a day.
We have to eat Pop-Tarts and change our own diapers.
So, that broke my heart. I don't even know why. But anyway, so he had this great idea to just pipe in a shower and put it outside on the other side of the wall of his existing bathroom.
Sure.
Because then you could take a shower and nobody could really see you because there's one window that could see you at the cabin next door, but nobody lives there. That's like barely even a vacation home.
I remember your property. Is it the one behind it with all the hummingbirds or to the right or the left?
If you're standing on the porch, it's the one straight in front of you.
Okay, got it.
When you come out through that front door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one can still see you because it's back behind by the spa that he has there, right?
Yep.
And I got to tell you, man, I love this thing.
I believe it.
Oh, my God. It feels amazing. To the point where he was like, he goes, so now we have two showers in the summer. He goes, and I thought the only reason you couldn't do it in the winter is because there'd be snow on the ground. I'm like, I want to take a hot shower and some snow.
Yeah,
I want to know what
cool.
that feels like. And then I realized that because he piped in with PVC that it would just crack.
Oh, got it.
Plastic pipe. But anyway.
Now, explain the psychology behind that. You're standing in the naked in the middle, in the backyard.
Yeah.
Getting soaped up.
Yeah. And I don't know why. I don't even know if the nudity has...
No woman will ever do this.
No. My mom was. I might be oversharing. Who cares? It's my mom did it, and it was great because... Here's the thing that I realized is that my mom is a beautiful lady, but she's an older lady.
Sure.
And this is what comes with being an older lady is that I think all chicks, and I've even talked about this a little bit at my stand-up show where I talk about how, you know, after moms have kids that their boobs kind of sag and it tears up their body a little bit. And anytime I make mention of that, there's a woman woman who's become comfortable with her aging process, and she laughs. Mm. And then the other woman, the other women in the room, their buttholes pucker because they're like, I don't like this.
Do you say that on the show too?
No. Yes, I do. And so, but my, so my mom is not a butthole puckerer, if you would.
And I wouldn't.
Yeah. She would. But anyway, he, so she goes out there, she uses the shower, and she goes, she's like, I was using the shower. And she goes, just as soon as I came in is when they had a squadron of dudes come and clean the lot because you have to clean the pine needles that fall out of the trees. And so all these guys come. She's like, and it was funny. She's like, I just missed them. And Natalie, my wife, was like, oh, that would have been, oh, that would have freaked me out. She goes, oh, I wouldn't have cared if they was, I just thought it was funny that just as soon as I, she goes, it was probably better for them than it was for me. They turn around like, oh my God. Ah!
See, because I...
Chupacabra.
Blanca, Blanca. Because if I did it, I could not, I could not stand out in the woods naked without thinking, there's somebody behind that tree. There's somebody over there. There's a chance that somebody's going to walk around this corner and find me. Like, I would need, it would make me uncomfortable.
Maybe that's the part. I don't remember thinking of the nudity. I just remember, I think it was the elements of being outside.
See, that
just,
sounds, I would
I
do
loved
that
it.
If I, like,
you had a fence
in movies,
around you.
You had the little fence, and then that'd be great. And if I knew I was fine.
If it was your own backyard, but there is no, like, 6-foot fence around this property.
Because we, we, Kat and I, my wife, went to Target to get a swimsuit for a party we were going straight to. Mm-hmm. And we picked out a bunch of stuff, and I was waiting outside. And she's like, Kevin, could you come here? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll come in. She's like, oh, I want to, I'm trying on the swimsuit. I was like, it's okay. She's like, you don't leave. I don't want you to leave. Just let me change this. So she's changing her top. Wow. Boobies hanging out in the middle. There's people talking out on the other side of the wall, chatting. I was like, and it was incredible. I even told her, I'm like, we had sex this morning. I have never been more turned on than right now because I am sitting in this little tiny room getting my own private boobie show for my wife.
Yes.
And she's just changing her top. And everything. This is amazing.
I have to send this. Thank you for reminding me. I have to put this in a message to send to our friends over at Naptime Radio because I'm a guest on their show coming out on July 1st, that episode. And I, one of the things I wanted to mention, because we do have some moms that listen to the show, but it's for dads. But my lovely bride, when daddy was in Indianapolis. That's right. Let's get some. Let's get some of this going. What she did was. She sent me some nasty little pictures. And by not nasty as in, you know, not hustler, but, you know, Playboy cover-ish type photos she was topless, you know, and but, you know, kind of clothed, did the laying on the bed covers. With the one arm over.
Lee
shit. I cannot describe to you what that did to me. It ruined my day. I can tell you that. I got nothing done. And it was amazing because you don't know this, but we had Gina Paris, who's kind of like a sex life coach or whatever.
Oh, wow.
I talked to her about how I'd had issues with, you know, being intimate, not necessarily sexual issues, but just intimacy issues since I'd had two kids, that they suck up so much of your life that you don't have time to be husband and wife really anymore. You're just like these, coach and assistant coach raising children, you know, it becomes like a partnership. And nothing made me feel more in love and attracted to that woman than getting some sassy pictures from her. So I'm saying it on these airways because I want any mom, I swear to you, I swear, I don't care how unattractive you think you are, okay? If you were a mom and you were listening to the show, especially if your husband also listens to this show, I'm telling you, let the girls breathe, snap a little photo, MySpace style, in the bathroom mirror, and just see the look on his face
flush
when he comes home.
Before you take the photo. You've heard of that infamous,
no.
Have you seen it? There are MySpace fail pictures where, like, the girls in the bathroom are, like, looking up, and they take the little cutie picture, and then behind them, and then the toilet is open, there's a dookie just sitting there. That's a fail.
That's hilarious. But honestly, just look at what it does to him, because I never would have. Here's the thing. I like to consider myself to be a pretty open-minded dude. You know what I mean? But I'm also not necessarily pervy. Like, I don't have those things where it's like, yeah, daddy want that. You know, I don't. I'm not very sexual.
But it's arousing.
I guess. But I'm saying I had a big reaction. Like, I was like, and maybe it's because it was out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, not that my wife is by any means a prude or anything like that, but it was like, I'm the only reason, again, I'm singing this at the top of the mountains on this, on the web internet.
The web internets.
Yeah. Is because it really, like, I was like, holy crap. Wow. To the point where, like, now, just so I could keep them. Because I said, I go, I would really like to keep these if I can. She was like, well, I just don't want you to be showing pictures to somebody. And have, yeah, yeah, I go, that's
well, you
a solid
touched
point.
Your phone when you started telling this story, too.
I did. So, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because there's an app that I found, and I think it's called My Drive, that lets you save photos and password protect them. My disk. It's got a little, that right there. That right there contains naughty pictures of my lovely.
What's the password?
Huh? Can't tell you.
Ah, I almost
can't tell
had you.
Can't
couple
tell
more
you.
Beers.
But I don't know what got me onto that. I think it was.
We're talking about the shower outside.
Yes.
Because if my wife went out and took, she would never even let you make her consider it. Because she'd be saying, the moment I step out there, what if a parade comes down your street? Like,
it is different for chicks.
Every,
and I think it's because every chick. No, again, no matter how unattractive you think you are, every chick has some arousal point for a dude. Where, like, I went out there, I'm like, if some girl walks around the corner, they're not going to be like, yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, what's that? Whoa. Let me get the loofah sponge and help get your downstairs all cleaned up and ready to go. What's that? Yeah, let's turn up the hot water because it's time for me to clean your ears. That's not going to happen. There's no equivalent to that.
That went from dirty to boring.
Well, I like to throw in some downstairs hygiene in my sexual antics. You know, it can't be,
I brought some
can't be all passion. I mean, no woman can handle my true form of concentrated like, passion.
Where's he going to go after downstairs? Oh, upstairs.
Upstairs.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
It's just it's a
to
tour
go
of the house. That's what I mean. Sure, there's a back door, there's a front door, but what I'm concerned with. It's the kitchen window. You know what I'm saying? You pick it up when I'm putting down. Let's make
I
sure that's clean.
Have a clue. What
and
you're
make sure you
to
put those frosty windows in the bathroom so nobody can peep you doing your downstairs and cleaning your ears.
This old house.
So to get back to the real genesis of the story is that my dad got a, so I tweeted a picture. I had Natalie take a picture of me taking a shower, obviously from the boobies up, because that is the least attractive part of me. Because if I get the full downstairs and the anaconda, the woman,
I want to clean my ears just thinking about it.
So anyway, I take a picture, I send it on Twitter. Well, I guess my dad has people that he works with that follow me on Twitter, and I think even some of them listen to this podcast or whatever. And so he starts getting emails and text messages about, what's this about your outdoor shower? And my father, that kind of angers him. Like, he doesn't know how to react happy. Like,
he can't just be like,
hey, you told everybody there's people that listen to you. Like, he can't say that. So it's got to be like, what are you telling people about my shower? That's how he starts. I'm like, what? And he's like, what are you telling people about my shower for? And I go, what do you mean people? Like, who am I?
Who are these
He goes,
people?
Are you putting pictures of that shit on Facebook? Is that what you're doing?
What?
Like, and it had this tone like I'm 17 and he's talking to me about drugs. Is that what you're doing? Huh?
Right.
You huffing that paint? Is that what you're doing? Huh?
You using that MySpaces? LinkedIn? Friendster?
I was like, oh, well, I guess I tweeted it. He goes, well, I have people at work that follow you on Twitter. And I was like, how in my head, I'm like, I'm trying to be respectful because I do feel bad, but it's also funny when you remove yourself from the situation. This
I
is a
still don't understand where the, like, what the consequence of this information is.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's where
I don't either.
I'm waiting for it to say my homeowner's association would not allow it because la la la.
But it's not. It's his own land. He could do whatever he wants, except for ride an ATV. This is
well, that's the law.
Yeah,
you
this is America.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the mountains.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I told him, I said, well, I don't know. And then it was funny because Darren Carter, who has been on the show too, he has a lot more Twitter followers than I do. He retweeted the picture, not what I tweeted, but the picture about it and saying that this is the view from his window. And some people who listen to his podcast and mine were like, that's messed up, bro. Like, because he called me essentially Sasquatch. And that's how that broke bad for me. But I even mentioned in the tweet that how badass is my dad?
Yeah.
That instead of going, well, I guess I can't take a shower for a few months to fix the shower, he's just like, you know what I'll do? I'll put one outside. And he put a little mat on top of the rocks because he has drainage rocks right there, so you have something to stand on. Well, you know, and it was amazing. It felt so good that I'm like, more people need to have this.
This story just proves that you love your father
Yeah.
More than he loves you.
That's the whole. Now it's about to get real.
Oh, tears. Tears welling. Welling of tears. No, I could really see the outdoor shower being a thing that catches on, like outdoor malls and outdoor seating arrangements for restaurants. The thing is, what I was going to say.
Well, if I ever buy a house, I'm putting a shower in my backyard.
It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
We had. I have my reoccurring nightmare that I've had for maybe 20 years of my life is that I can't find a bathroom in the dream. And so I spend the whole dream looking around for a toilet. And if I find one, it's either in one of two conditions. One, it's just nasty. Like things are floating in it. The ground is disgusting and I don't want to use it. Or two, it's in plain view in public, like it's in the middle of a room, or there are no walls, and there's just people using bathrooms everywhere.
You're like Carl Pilkington, that's what it is.
I don't.
He's for An Idiot Abroad, that Ricky Gervais show. It's funny they put him, they send him to these like wonders of the world, and he has more opinions about how they take a dump because like there's no walls here. What even bother? And it's just holes in the ground. Can't you put a seat at least? Like all that stuff. So anyway, I'm sorry.
So or worse, it's both those things at the same time. That in my dream. And what it is it's my subconscious stopping myself from peeing the bed. Like I always wake up and I have to go pee. So now there are a couple places where I've run into similar circumstances, I don't need to pee, but I've walked into a room that had been excavated and there was just a toilet in the middle of it. And it immediately,
you have a flashback.
I did to this dream and I was like, that is my nightmare. That is my 30-year-old nightmare. This toilet sitting in the middle of the room. And I feel like you're all expecting me to use it. And that ain't gonna happen, guys.
Hilariously irrational.
But to be fair, I've been tortured by my own subconscious. So a shower outdoors, I'll let you know if I start having nightmares about it.
And then I'll bring you to the cabin.
Because I bet it would be
to
very
overcome
free.
Your fear.
If I could have that fence around me and it like Target in the changing room, I'd be like, this is the coolest thing forever.
Yeah, I'd
stand out here forever.
Yeah.
I could really see that being very cool.
I'm sorry, I sidetracked. We need to talk more about you. And so you said you had questions for me. Because
this is not about being publicly nude.
No.
Okay.
I want to, for the sake of people being able to laugh at you, in all honesty, full disclosure here. full disclosure, you are probably not aware of this, but you have been a character on the previous episodes of this podcast.
I should have known I would be. Why do I not listen to your other show? I'm so mad.
Only in like three occasions.
Of course I would be.
Only in three occasions because, and it's always, in my opinion, it's always come from a place of love. Bill used to joke about how he hated you, but it's because
he was jealous.
Because
our show was better.
Probably. But it's funny because you were the friend, you played the role of the friend who was around people who had kids but did not have kids. And I mentioned it on the show where I'm like, it's unfair that Kevin gets painted in this light because I go, it's just that's the character. We all have them.
I was going to say, I suck in that role because,
why?
Well, I think there are people that are like, in terms of being cast as that person, like the jerk that doesn't get having kids and life. Like I married a woman who had a baby brothers when she was like 13.
Yeah.
So like she understands the world
babies
of children.
Yeah.
So we are not ignorant to it as a couple. And I've been working with kids for the past 15 years. So I'm no stranger to the interruption of life. And I've watched you. We're very close.
Yes.
So like I've had our life has been disrupted the moment Natalie was pregnant.
Yes.
So I'm not that like oblivious guy.
Right.
That's like, why can't you come to the game for 9 hours?
Yes.
Bro.
So in that light, you have been unfairly exaggerated arena.
That's fair. I'll take that. That's called satire.
Yeah, exactly. You were a muse, if you would. And so that's why I think it's going to be fun for the listeners to also hear any fears that you have, because it was a big deal when it wasn't announced on my show like that, but that you were going to be having a kid eventually.
It was inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we would talk about. We would say, well, sooner or later, he's going to know. I think it was little things. Although you said you didn't want to change Jacob's diapers because you wanted to be able to look at him when he's like 17 and go, I didn't change your diapers.
Yeah, I still hold true to that.
Yeah.
Because he's not my son.
That's fine.
You know, and he's not.
Well, it's such a weird thing, too. But I think you're right in that sense that it's like such a weird thing that that people think it's a rite of passage when it's a weird piece of intimacy. Like, it's like,
oh, I have no doubt. And maybe my opinion will change when I have my old kid. I'll be like, oh, I get why this is sweet and whatever. But the truth remains.
No, it's not sweet. Nothing sweet about it.
That's it.
Like, the first, like, 18.
Here's the deal, though. I've seen him naked plenty of times. Yeah. I've watched him crap on the crapper. I walk by and he'll have a conversation with his little penis dangling in the toilet. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to hear about Spider-Man right now, bro.
The best ever. And I can't wait for this to happen to you because you're also having a son. I think it's different if it's a girl. Like, there's a creep factor where you want to kind of say, well, I don't know if you should do that. But it's pretty awesome to be a father to a son and look at your son talking to you going, you know what I like about the Hulk, Dad?
No, I don't think so.
What's that, son?
No.
He's just quietly concentrating. And then he goes, he swings Loki around.
No, I can't say that I'll like that.
But for whatever reason, I'm also made uncomfortable when Jack is sitting in his high chair, because this is what's bad about a baby. Jack will be sitting in his high chair. Well, you've had it happen to you while you're at my house having dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, blah, 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 blah. And then he stops and...
right there.
Right there. You just...
Not here, bro.
Exactly where I just can't... I don't have a sensitive stomach, but I just feel bad. And then it was the...
And then the stink rises.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, it's pretty... And then when they get to talk, they say inappropriate things. So what are your fears? Do you have any fears?
Probably the biggest thing that I've been wrestling through lately is the inconvenience of children in general. And mm-hmm. I was overhearing some friends talk about this, is that, you know, there's that whenever you have to spend a weekend or a lengthy period of time with a kid, there comes a point where you're exhausted. And I understand that what I understand to be is that there's this magic thing that happens when the kid's yours that helps you power through, or the reset button is quicker because mm-hmm. they're your own. You're like, you know, the next day you still want more of them, and you have this seemingly endlessly rechargeable battery for children. And when they're not your own, you spend an afternoon with them. You're like, I don't want to talk about Agent Oso for a month because it's so obnoxious.
Your friends, whoever's telling you are also not the people that would listen to this show.
Okay.
Because the people, this is already going great. The people who are listening to this show go, no, I want them to shut the fuck up. I could care less.
No, and that's good to know. Because
it's not for us. For this is why I made this show, is that as much as I love everybody who listens to the show, we talk about it, that we love our kids like crazy, but... The people that have found this show happen to be of the mindset that it's not like I find a reborn interest in them. I don't, or power through it. It's that I have no other choice.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean by endlessly rechargeable. It's not that they are that they grow tired of the kid. They somehow don't grow tired of the kids, because they do. They're humans. Everybody's going to be okay. Not now. I don't want to talk about the Teletubbies right now.
Please, please, no more Teletubbies.
Stop.
Please shut your face.
But that. When we hang out with even Jacob, who both Kat and I love, like it takes us a little while to kind of emotionally process through it. Be like, remember how he kept saying the same thing over and over again? And I imagine it when our kid comes around, like that won't stick with us. Like, it won't be that impactful.
Yeah,
the next day we'll be like, oh, great. What's the next thing you're going to annoy the hell out of us about? Yeah. We're excited for that. Yay.
You're right in that. It's funny because on my side of the fence, I've always thought that people who aren't my son's parents, obviously, who aren't me, I guess, have more patience with my kid than I do. But like, by that description, I guess that's a little bit of a pat on my back, because I do have more patience than that. I'll listen. I have my moments where it's like, yeah, we've covered this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it never bothers me that we talk about the same thing again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I also think maybe it's because I have a little bit of my dad in me. My dad always found a way, and I see him do it even now with my son, that he finds a way just spinning the conversation into something else. Like, he just guides it into a different direction. And everything was always a mind game with him.
Your son, I've been blessed to have a lot of time with your kid, and Jacob is a really special kid. Like, and your son Jack is growing into be one of my favorite babies of all time. I really enjoy. He's just so chill and very different than your firstborn. But Jacob is just a very, I know you know this, but you should know this from an outsider, don't have kids' point of view. There is something very special about that three-year-old and has been special about him since the beginning. He is so perceptive and so engaging. And we spent, you came over here a couple weeks ago and installed air conditioners in our house, and I felt like I was hanging out with one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Like he was a little retarded.
It's interesting when you use the word special to describe him and then that word as well.
Oh, it was intentional. I've been stringing you along. No, he's so smart. You know, I'll tell him a story, and then a week later, he'll recount it mm-hmm. for you. He'll tell it back to you, and he's just always, since he was a little baby, he's had that, like, hunger for knowledge and inclusion in his eyes. Like, I'm participating. I'm following along. I want to know, and I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And I pray regularly that our kid is as bright and as engaging as yours, because he's such a trip.
You're too kind.
No, seriously, like, I love that kid, and that's why I didn't want to change his diapers, because we're gonna hang out. Yeah. We're gonna go to Comic-Con together.
We're gonna be friends. Yeah,
like, we're gonna do stuff that you're not gonna care about, because I'm like, dude, do you realize they're opening a Marvel Land at Disneyland today, and there are 6-hour lines for the new Spider-Man ride? Mm. And your son's gonna be like, F yeah, I'm there. I'll be like, yeah, you are. And my son's gonna be at home watching Bachelorette with my wife. You're going to be watching NASCAR with Jack, and Jacob and I are going to be at Disneyland the moment it opens.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's
it's
hilarious.
True, though. Profit.
So that's, I guess, it's funny that you, so you have this weird, so you have a fear of not having enough patience. Am I summing that up right?
Yeah, I guess I have two thoughts in there. One, yeah, that I, obviously, it hits me all the time. Like, we're hanging out last night, and we can both go into the other room and do stuff and come back, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, you still got a baby stuck inside your belly here. And I have not, and I don't think I can, wrap my brain around what it's going to be like to have my life, the hours of my day, absorbed with an infant, because I have no reference point for that. So I let myself off the hook. Like, I don't feel guilty for watching TV and playing video games and doing recreational activities right now, because I don't have an infant that I need to take care of. So I don't need to feel guilty about that stuff.
Carpe diem, which is why I think it was like a month or two ago, you were trying to come and take my kids so that Natalie and I could go see a movie. And I was so adamant, going, no.
We still want to do that.
You go see your movie.
We like your kids.
Yeah. I know you like your my kids. There will be time.
But we want to help you as well. Like,
that chick of yours is a ticking time bomb. Okay?
Here's the deal, though. If we were
counting down to your freedom.
We don't have family here in L.A., right? So and the bottom line is, I'm glad we're bringing this up on the show. When our kid comes, we are definitely dropping him in your lap. And I don't care if you say, we've got two sons, to be like, bro, we gave you the chance before we had kids to give them to us all the time, and you said no.
That's hilarious.
We're showing up at your door and be like, we're going to the mall.
Here's the kids.
Here's the kids.
Have a good time.
See you in six hours.
Vaya con Dios. That's hilarious.
Peace.
We're going to be some kind of awkwardly awkwardly younger than your own parents' grandparents.
Exactly. That's what it is. Because Kat and I got stuff to do.
Here's my philosophy of it was that you have a limited amount of time to do what you want. Because it's taken me two children and multiple sessions with a therapist for him to explain to me that he goes, what you're doing is you're trying to live the life that you had before you had children.
Right.
And that's no longer your life. And then I was like, that's a solid point. So, and when you let go of being able to watch your favorite television shows and just kind of go, oh, this is kind of a sucky time in my life because I can't watch what I want to watch.
Why is it that you can't do both? Why can't you watch your favorite shows with your child?
They're already laughing right now.
Sorry, I'm thinking of in the first 3 to 4 months. Like in the fall, because we're due September 21st. I'm like, you know, the baby needs feeding. I get it. The baby needs changing.
Right.
But the baby, like, I hung out with Jacob when he was an infant and Jack. They sleep most of the time, right?
Yes.
Like, we can't do that in front of a TV.
Yes, you're right. I think where it really changes is multiple children,
okay,
in my opinion. Excuse me. And I think the other thing, though, is that what you don't think of is the noise. Like, you don't realize until you've had the kids in the room with you. Like, it took us I think that if you were to shoot that movie in chronological, I'm talking about Eat, Pray, Love. If you were to actually put down on tape the actual real footage of real time, that's the amount of time it took us to watch that movie since we had kids, which was a horrible waste of time. Imagine killing 2 hours on it. Well, I killed about 3 days it took me. I had a day for eating, a day for praying, and a day for love. And by the end of it, I wanted a day of suicide or genocide, one of the two. And it's because you'll be sitting there watching, and even if they're the flesh slug, they still make noise. Uh-huh. And so if they decide to go...
But then, the baby right now is an infant inside my wife's stomach.
Yes.
And we're never quiet for the baby right now.
Right.
Like, it's there's noise. There's,
I like where you're going.
She's moving around. There's sloshing. Her heart's beating. She's eating Mexican food. Why is it the moment the baby comes out that suddenly it has to be silence?
No, not silence. What I'm saying is you can't hear what Horatio is saying because your baby's making noise.
What if I get headphones?
Then you're golden. It's good. And it's funny too, but I don't know if you'll be the same. Like, but for me, it was always this weird thing that they you
and
read.
Who is Horatio?
He's the guy on CSI.
Oh, okay, got it. Like,
there's a reason why this popped in my head is because I thought this was, where did it go? I had it in here. Let's see if I can find it. Oh, that makes me angry because I had it in here. Oh, you bastards. Anyway.
I wish I could cover for you, but I have no idea what's
going on.
Yeah,
you have no idea what I'm talking about. But I had a thing in here that I thought would be funny to play like a bit, like a game, and it didn't work. Oh, here we go. Yeah. So it's like Horatio's like, they find, like, give me a circumstance where somebody got killed. Let's try this. This will be fun.
Oh, say again. So in.
Like somebody died. Just give me a circumstance that somebody, like, we're cops.
Oh, okay.
And we arrive on the scene.
Oh, got it.
And
okay,
we're seeing a dead body in this. And,
got it.
And you're saying, this is how he died.
Normally a man would be crushed by a refrigerator, but somehow this refrigerator came up the stairs and hit him from behind.
Well, now I'm going to be Horatio as I put on my sunglasses, okay. And in that circumstance I would say, well, it looks like in this case his refrigerator was running. Yeah! And then it goes into the credits.
Oh, yeah.
Of CSI
time.
Of Miami.
Yeah,
what I mean? So that's
yeah.
It goes into that whole thing. So right. He does that, in which our friend Omar is on this very television show.
He's been on it for 4 seasons. Yeah.
So that I thought that would be a fun game that if we ever got bored on the show, here, you want to give it, let's see.
Oh, yeah, I like this.
Somebody got...
Do I need sunglasses? Sure, go get some.
It might help. But somebody just, they were run over by an ice cream truck. So what would be the cheesy thing that Horatio would say if somebody got run over by an ice cream truck? They were run over by an ice cream... It's hard, I know. I'll put you on the spot.
It's a great new game, and I'm
but here's
pretty
what
deep into a glass of whiskey.
I know. But just... all you got, here's the,
okay,
the
no,
great part about...
I'm overthinking it. Go ahead.
Yeah. It got run over. All right. It looks like, Horatio, he was hit by an ice cream truck.
Well, pop goes that weasel.
See, it's fun.
It's good, yeah. Because they sing the song,
yeah, Pop Goes the Weasel.
It's like two beats away.
Yeah.
I had a better one, and I okay. I'm mad because you know what's going to happen is for the rest of the week, yes. I'm going to be playing this game in my head.
This is why I think this game is so much fun and horrible at the same time.
This is a great game.
Isn't it fun? It's a good time.
We should start comedy
sports. You want to play again?
Yeah, please.
You want to give me one?
Okay, all right. Okay. a man has been chopped up in his own office shredder.
Well, it looks like his identity won't be stolen. Oh, no. I got a better one.
Okay, good.
Well, it looks like he was just audited.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Okay, and I think it really doesn't matter what you do because what starts it is that.
Yeah.
Won't be fooled again.
All right, give me one.
Let's see. Let's do shocked. But what would be fun? He was shocked in his bathtub by a magic bullet.
Well, at least he didn't hunt any crocodiles.
See, it doesn't matter.
Well, because the crocodile hunter was shocked by an electric eel to death. I don't think I'm good at this game.
Mostly because it was a stingray. That's what that killed Steve Irwin. But
it wasn't
an
electric eel. It doesn't
really matter because a lot of times Horatio doesn't make sense.
I'm 0-2. We got to play again. Stupid.
Well, let's pick something.
No, we're not playing this anymore.
How about this? We'll pick something in your wheelhouse of Star Trek. Horatio, he was killed in a horrible transporter accident.
Well, beam me up. It was funny. Or at least he didn't become the fly.
Oh, that's harder than it looks.
Is this what the show is normally like?
Yeah, that is now.
What is it like when you're by yourself?
A lot more depressing. Yeah.
So then my therapist told me. Okay, so.
That you brought us when I told Kevin we just finished recording our other episodes of the Second Funniest Podcast, and then I said, hey, let's do the dad podcast since we got done kind of early. Kevin's like, okay. So he brings out, for those of you who have been listening to the show since the beginning, he brings out the Be Prepared, a Practical Handbook for New Dads, which is the same book that Bill brought out, I think, on episode 2 or 3 or something, like one of the books that he had where we talked about how no book that we've ever read has been very helpful. There's a book that I gotta read the name of it because a friend of mine, Adam from Modesto, he gave me his parents gave him a book when they found out he was having a boy, and I think it's like The Dangerous Book for Boys or something like that.
Well, you should put both of these books as promo ads on your Amazon clickable
to click through
on your page, because this book is in the same tone and style as this show, and the same sort of love that you guys have for being rational fathers.
Bill did compliment this book and said
it's a wonderful book.
Yeah,
and it's funny, and it's a great read. Like I went to the beach a little while ago, and I brought this book to read, and I was just sitting on the beach by myself, just laughing out loud continuously. But it's brought up a number of really great talking points for Kat and I. One of the first ones really great is how it talks about digital photography is the way of the future.
What was the print on this?
2004.
Oh,
what it says. If you haven't gone out and bought a digital camera by now, what are you waiting for? The prices are dropping.
Sorry.
He's been shot by a camera.
Oh, that's a good one.
Finally, I did it.
I have to put that on a trigger.
And for a new dad with a lot on your plate, bringing film in for processing and picking it up is valuable time that could be spent napping. And where in the world are you going to find a place that's going to develop your film in the year 2012? I was like, they need to delete this section.
Well, you can still, you don't know this because you'll eventually have to do this for like in-laws and grandparents, aunts, uncles, all this, is that the new way to do it is Walgreens and Walmart will allow you to upload photos that are digital photos and then have them printed.
Because you can do it at Target, too.
Not everybody is digital. So I have Walgreens and Walmart accounts based on whatever's closest to their home, and then I could send pictures of the kids to these
people. Even better. See, that's still a modern answer to the same problem, because you didn't actually print them out, go to the store, put them in an envelope, write a note. Here's some pictures of our kid.
Yeah. Even Apple will let you order prints from iPhoto, and I've had the mail to my grandparents.
That's even better. Then they didn't even have to drive anywhere.
Yeah, they have to go anywhere.
Yeah, this book needs a slight revision. That part made me laugh pretty hard. But there's been a few sections in here where it's created some really good conversations for my wife and I, one of which, when I was thumbing through earlier, pretty early on, about being the night watchman. And I've had a couple conversations with some dads about this. And this is probably the most serious conversation my wife and I have had since before we were married, about like a division of labor within
our relationship. Why is he saluting her breasts?
Because that's bidding farewell to the breasts. They now belong to the child. That's not the the thing that we debated over. But the book describes that one of the, and I know a lot of young dads too, that say that the father can't breastfeed. So the young mother being, tired and exhausted and everything, has to get up and and do all this stuff and feed the baby. But the thing that the father can do is burp the baby and change the diaper and put him back to bed. And Kat and I have had a number of conversations about this. And when the baby comes, we're considering what to do with her career. We're leaning towards her not returning to the workforce for the next few years at least, and let her be a stay-at-home mom, which has always been her dream job. She grew up with a mom at home. That's we've talked about it, and like what she wants to do with her life is be a stay-at-home mom. So we're working to make it so our family is built so that she can take care of the house and the kids, and I'll make sure that there's food and the electricity is still running and all that. So, but in that paradigm, that throws a wrench in what is becoming this common understanding that the man will wake up in the middle of the night and be tortured just as much as the woman through dealing with these midnight feedings, despite the fact that I will, in this paradigm, need to go to work the next day and do things while
Welcome to your new life.
But see, this is where I'm going with this, where she is going to be the stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. So her job will be to tend to the baby, especially in the first few weeks when we don't know what the hell is going on. Her job will be to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. My job will be to continue to go to work and make sure that I'm not typing on a keyboard, just hitting the R key over and over and over again. And what I keep coming back to, and this book spelled it out so well right in the beginning, is that only in the first second paragraph, the second sentence of the book, for thousands of years, dads have roamed the earth, hunting, gathering, trudging through the fields day after day in order to provide for their families the way they could. But it wasn't until the last quarter of a century the dads began to put down their spears and take an active role in the day-to-day duties of raising a child. And that's how this book begins. And I'm like, yes, that's how I feel. I don't know what to do with a stupid baby. I think they're boring, stinky, and dumb. I'm not built with maternity instincts.
This is awesome.
I don't care about them.
This is awesome.
I think they're cute. I'll hold one for 20 minutes.
I want to thank Chris personally for this moment right here. This is great.
But
because here's what's going to happen. Less than a year from now, we're going to come back to this very subject. And I predict that you're going to have an entirely different opinion.
About what? About babies?
About babies and about your role. Because here's what happened. I'm going to be honest. The genesis at the beginning of this podcast, we talked about this very subject of like stay-at-home moms and things of that nature. And that was when...
And you're a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
I mean, you breastfeed your child.
Yes.
Which is impressive. I've seen it.
If you want it that bad, I read The Secret and all of a sudden I lactated. That's all it took.
That and some jugs and a pump
that cost me $300. But we had this same conversation, and that you start off, I think, with this kind of feeling of like it's not your, and then if I don't know how it happens, I don't even know if I agree with it, to be honest with you. But it morphs into where you become more and more and more involved. Now here's where it really, in my opinion,
but that's not how it's been for thousands of years.
But that's how it is now. It is what it is. That I don't know how it happened again. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what it was, but slowly, I think everybody would agree, slowly over the last, let's say, 100 years, that men have been less and less, you know, quote unquote, men, and that there's a new definition of masculinity, and it involves
crying
shaving your
Titanic.
Pubes. Yeah. It involves crying at Real Steel. That's what I did. It involves that. It involves changing diapers. It involves, having tea time with your daughters. And, you know, I've read on the book, look for it. It's like the Good Wife or whatever from the 1940s. There's a blog that has it, and it breaks down how to take care of a household and take care of your husband. But it's from this 1940s or 50s perspective. And it's just, it's not that way anymore. Now, in the beginning, here's my honest interpretation of what they're talking about here, is that you have to be the one who is rested, because there will come a time when your wife will lose her shit.
Yeah.
And she will want to choke your child.
In this room we're in right now.
Yeah, we're recording in what is to be his kid's room right now. And she, and I've joked about it, that men don't have that biological response to a baby crying to wake them up, but men have a biological response to the mother talking to the child through her teeth. and that will wake you up. So I never woke up when Jacob would cry. Never. Never. But then at 4 in the morning when she'd been pushed to her limit, when Natalie would go, will you just shut up? I got to save my baby. I would run out there, and I would tag her out. And that was the only advice that my dad gave me that I can remember. But I just remember being like, wow, that's a solid point.
And don't pee in the shower outside.
Yeah, because it's rude to me. One of you has to be well-rested so that you can tag the other one out. And there's every mom has a different threshold, I've learned, too. Like, I've seen Natalie, I've learned, is, as much as I give her crap even on the show, she is a frickin' G.I. Jane. I mean, that chick, she is in it to win it, and she can handle. I mean, she's breastfed through, I think it's called mastitis, I want to say. It's a clogged milk duct.
Oh, wow.
Which she described as essentially, while she's feeding our child, having somebody stab her in the boob or nipple with a steak knife and just twist it slowly. Only way to get through that is for the kid to eat and then keep a warm compress on it, because it's just a little blockage, and then it works itself free. But,
it's like a kidney stone.
Kind of,
yeah. Of the boob.
Yeah. And she's, she's been through that. She's, had the flu while she's, taking care of the kids, and she's still got to feed them. And this is where, honestly, I kind of start to think that was the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Is as our culture became more self-aware, and as, I guess, maybe men and even women became aware of what women were doing. And then we fucked up and let them vote. No, I'm kidding.
Wyoming is the equality state.
Yeah.
I learned that from your comics Last Standing.
Oh, really?
They sent me an email telling me that.
I didn't know that. But that I think that we became kind of more aware of what they're doing. And then because I have a little bit of an element, like I've talked about on the show, too, that I have a little bit of element. I could fucking do that. You know what I mean? Granted, I can't breastfeed. No. I can't shit out a kid, right? But I could stay up all night with a kid. I can, There's
sure.
a little bit of that manly, quote unquote, competitiveness, even though I cried at Real Steel. I still have that deep, 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 deep inside me. But and so I think maybe that's where it started too, that because the expectation now is that you can't just walk in and go, and the kids come up to you, and you're like, okay, and the mom's not going to come and go, give your father some time. He needs the quiet. Go to your room. That's why we kind of laugh at the way children are treated in Mad Men, because it's so different from what it is today.
I'm excited. We Kat and I, this was actually Kat's vision, is that I would come home for work, and she wants to say, she's actually rehearsed this. Okay, you have 10 minutes. Go and do whatever you need to do to get comfortable, and then come out and you have playtime with the baby, and that means taking the baby and playing video games while holding your son. Mm-hmm. I was like, that win-win-win. That sounds great. I'm going to give him the controller, teach him his dexterity.
And I really think
2 months.
It's funny because I believe the two things have happened to our listenership, and only the Facebook page will tell us, is that the earlier rant that you went on from what you'd read in this book about not knowing what to do with babies is going to be very polarizing to a lot. Because here's what happened. I don't know if you knew this, but Huggies a while ago created a campaign that was saying that we put our diapers to the ultimate test, fathers. Like, we don't know how to change diapers at a proper time, and we'll just let them shit and piss themselves for an 8-hour day because when it comes to babies,
we know moms will do that. Did you not see The Help? That woman had a cloth diaper, and she let that kid sit in that mess for 10. A black woman knew better.
That's right. And that's why I thought that movie was a comedy. No.
And here I thought I was offensive.
No, I can always one-up you on that,
that
one. Because the reality is that it's the black dads that we have to worry about, not the black moms. Well, they're the ones sticking around.
According to that movie, we never saw any black dads.
That's
the
true.
Only one that was there was beating on the woman.
Oh, boy.
It's true.
We just made that hole deeper. So that's going to be polarizing. And then there are people that I think are kind of laughing, even at the idea of, your wife coming in and go, you have 10 minutes, and then I've got a rack of lamb. Melt in your mouth with a mint julep jelly that I've developed.
Not my wife, she can't cook.
Compost. And it's all coming out of the microwave in
delicious.
10 minutes from Hungry Man. But the mint julep jelly, I bought at Trader Joe's. And I really do think that you can pull that off with one kid. I really do think that that kind of world. But
well, we've only got one coming.
Yes.
So.
The minute that you have two. And
why is that?
I don't know, to be honest. I know that it happens, and I don't know why. Like, it's weird, because your math and logic tells you that it's only going to be twice as hard.
Yeah.
But it is not, in my opinion, twice as hard. Now, here's the thing.
I remember we talked about that on the Second Funniest Podcast, and you kind of, oh, okay, sure. And I was like, I've never talked to anybody who said otherwise.
Yeah.
That it was incredibly harder to go from one to two than it was to go from zero to one, which baffles my brain on this side of one.
And I've heard people say, and I don't know, because I've joked about it on the show, that people who have four or five kids must be listening to me like, fuck you. I have heard that once you hit two or three, that four, five, and six, like, at that point, you've got your legs underneath you and you're okay.
Because
I've seen, like, there's a lady that lives in our apartment building that they have five kids, and I'm like, and she looks fine. Like, she's obviously, you could tell, but you just...
She doesn't eat well.
Or ever.
Have a lot of spaghetti.
But I think there's a... You adjust your lifestyle, and that you learn faster than what it took me, because there's a learning curve.
Oh, like, sure.
You're going to have a different understanding.
You figure out where this kid fits in the scale between the first two.
Somebody even wrote into me. I want to say it was Cindy. I could be wrong. But somebody wrote into me as a topic to talk about on the show, is that the idea of that there is a club of people. There are these different ranks, and it's like a clique at high school. There are married people that don't have kids, and they're one clique. And then there are married people that have one kid. And then there are married people that have two or more kids. And that there's definitely a looking down your nose if you have two or more kids at people with just one child.
Oh, interesting.
And there's also even a looking down your nose at people with one child who like to kind of go, well, I don't understand why you can't just make their baby food, you know, or whatever it is.
Uh-huh,
you know,
that's
a touchy subject, but not really a touchy subject. I'm overreacting. But we already talked about that. But, you know, we do cloth diapers and we have yard time, and we've already taught him to read with that My Baby Can Read series. And you have one child, and people who have four child are just going, you know what, fuck you, I live today, and that's okay.
I made it through the day.
I don't care if he's over there eating his own poop in the corner. That's saving me a trip to the grocery store.
Oh god,
you know what I mean? Like,
I can't wait.
There's a level of it's a weird mind shift, and I don't know what it is in that, but here's what I'm my kind of off the top of my head theory. A child is not a checklist.
Yeah.
So that there is never a completion point. So imagine doing some kind of, you know, fucked up Rubik's Cube that has no solution, and then saying, okay, while you're doing that with one hand, you now have to do the same puzzle with your other hand. And if you have a third kid, you have to do that same puzzle, but now with a foot. That's less dexterity. You know what I mean? And that each of the amount of energy, because there is this belief that we have, and I think to a certain extent it is true, there's a belief that we have that the amount of attention that you could devote to a child is a direct result into how they develop and how they learn and grow. And so what ends up happening is that you are dividing up more and more of your own focus. And this is if you have a situation where you're a primary caregiver at home, I think that you are splitting up your focus between three different people at three different levels of development. It's like we will go to a preschool, and if you told me that you were going to have your 18-month-olds through 5-year-olds all in the same class, I'd look and go, fuck you. Yet we do it in our house. You know what I mean? There's that gambit. Even though it's on a smaller scale, you do that, and it's impossible, I think, to really hone in to the same intensity that you can with one child on multiple children.
Well, and you're kind of proving their point that's in this Be Prepared book, because along with the reason why the men have been wrangled into this family nucleus to deal with the whole raising of the children and aiding the wife is because we're no longer raising children in a village.
Yes.
That instead of living in your parents' house when you have kids with your brothers and sisters who now have kids and we all do it together, now you and your wife are the only ones raising your kids. And so it is 2-on-2.
I think it's a twofold thing. I think that's a little bit of it. But for me, from my perspective, I think that it's also, for whatever reason, our culture has decided that it is a negative thing to be a homemaker. That, in my opinion, as much as
that's,
I give them shit,
lib.
Yeah, I do. I think so. That I think that for whatever reason, feminists and women's, and this is stupid, two guys with penises talking about this, but this is a show for guys. And so if you don't like it, chicks, I'm sorry. But I do think that the
go
chicks.
Go get a penis.
Yeah. And then tune in again. But no, I honestly believe that that was a thing that blew up in the face of what what women are. Women, I'm not trying to say that women can't have a job, because women, here's what's great about women. They can have a job and they can be amazing moms.
Yeah.
And that they're wired to do that. It takes a little bit. Like, I had nervous breakdowns when I was home alone with even just Jacob, because if Natalie didn't come home on time to feed him, I would start to kind of freak out. Then I'm like, I'm not doing what he needs. I have to give him what he needs. Yeah. And I'm a guy. I work in structure. I work in routine. This is, and I can apply that to parenting, and it works. But my kids aren't doing two-a-day football practices when they're in diapers. You know what I mean? It's not that same. It takes a balance, and there is a little bit of both that have to be involved. And personally, in my opinion, I do think that a mother's energy is a better vibe. I'm not saying it's the only vibe. I'm just saying it's a better vibe than, you know, having a guy take care of you.
Well, you see it all the time that there's a shift in the child's connection with a parent around the point of adolescence, where the father kicks in, where they go from nurture to protector as their primary parental unit. And it's because the mother needs a nurturing touch for the first 12 years, and then about the time that they start to enter into the real world, they need the protector to actually go, no, here are the rules.
Yes.
You're not going to succeed at everything, and not everything you do deserves a gold star.
And I think that the disservice that was done a while ago, and again, I know that this is, I'm way talking out of my ass. I have no ground to put this on, but I do believe it's true.
But except for you have a microphone and you're listening.
Yeah. And I do think to a certain extent that a lot of the people listening do agree to me, even the women that listen, is that it was a disservice that I quote unquote feminism or women's lib did to homemakers by saying that they were less than because they didn't have a career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That because everybody who's ever done it—that's
out of—I don't think that's out of line at all.
No, because they meant it to be that we could do jobs just like men, and I think that was a great message. But what it ended up being was that now what's happening within our generation is we have women that are growing up that think that it's okay, and guys too. It blows up both ways. Is that there are guys who grow up that don't know how to do quote unquote guy things, and then there are women that are growing up that don't know how to do quote unquote girl things, and there's also this attitude though that I'm better than that. I don't cook dinner.
Yeah, see, I was going to say take women's lib out of the family dynamic and apply it to other things that are stereotypically women, and you end up with these incredibly butch women that are closet bakers. Mm-hmm. You hear about this all the time of like girls that like to bake, women who like to bake, like to cook all this stuff, but they don't share that information with anybody because they don't want to be known as a baker because that's a woman's
job. That's weak, and it's so stupid.
But you like it, so you actually defeated the purpose of everything you said, because the whole point was that you should be able to do what you want.
Yeah.
Not do the things that, like, if you enjoy baking, you should be able to bake.
Yeah.
Just like a man should be able to bake if he's interested in baking, not because baking is intrinsically a bad thing for someone to do.
I agree. Well, this has been two dicks talking about pussy, and coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are going to talk about feminine hygiene and why it is wrong.
Are we over? Right. Is that how you end your show?
Actually, we are over. I didn't even, time flew by on that one. Well, here's the thing. Normally, when we end the show, we do.
I'm sorry. I just have one more very important question.
Take your time.
Is that are you one of the many people who think that Kat and I, my wife and I, are crazy to think that we will have an equal division of labor in dealing with the raising or the night routine of the baby and making it her priority? I'm not talking about the first three weeks where we come back from the hospital and we don't know what's going on. I'm talking about when we get into a routine and the kid wakes up in the middle of the night. Our plan right now is that I will keep sleeping and she will get up and feed the baby, burp the baby, and put the baby back to sleep, change the baby's diaper, do all the steps, and come back into bed.
And see, this is where I think it's another problem, is that is irrelevant for anybody else to really weigh in. And I'll do it for the sake of you asking and talking about it on the show. But for anybody to honestly weigh in that is not in your marriage is stupid. It's what you two decide is going to work best for you. That's exactly what Natalie and I did. I mean, because of my father's advice is that, and in a lot of ways it was unintentional, to the point where now, even now, I've had conversations with her. I go, honey, I don't always hear him, I am more than willing if you just say, hey, get your fucking ass up and take care of your child so I can sleep. Mm. You know what I mean? And
because she's going to work.
Well, that's the other part of it too, is that even though Natalie has gone back to work, she still ends up getting up with him at night because she hears him.
Yeah,
like she hears him in a way that I don't. She hears the I don't get the get in until the and she's halfway out the door by the time I open my eyes. And then, but there have been times where I've heard him, but and if she's like, honey, I'm so exhausted, I need you to take him, and I'll go downstairs and it's fine. But yeah, I think that that's, in my opinion, I think it's a smart way to go, the division of labor, where it's like, hey, we have a night shift, that's you. And then during the day, she can, she has to sleep when the baby sleeps.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first chunk of time. I think that's the best way that I've heard anybody do it, is that if she says, because here's what, she's not going to be on a regular, you know, day and night schedule.
Yeah, yeah,
because
the
baby has to eat every 2.5 hours. So
she goes on astronaut time.
Yep. Where they,
yeah. Eight on, eight off. Eight on, eight off.
Because she's going to have to, when the baby sleeps, she's going to need to sleep for the first chunk of time, because that's the only way she could keep her wits about her,
yeah,
in my opinion, without losing her mind and getting overly tired.
Yeah, I've been trying to convince her of that, but she thinks she's going to stay home and sweep the patio and stuff. But
She will, eventually, because but she, yeah, and that's, here's what I think is great and quote unquote modern and progressive of you, is that you have to learn, I think you, it's better and easier and happier if you learn to not have these weird expectations. You know what I mean? That the more you can kind of, because this is where I think it, that old school mentality gets a bad rap. And again, I wasn't around for it, but I find it kind of hard to believe that if you had a good husband, you know, taking care of you in the 50s, and he'd come home from work, and if his meal wasn't hot on the table and you had a hard day with the kids, that he's going to be putting cigarettes out on you.
Like, right.
I don't think that was the case.
Guild Wars 2 probably comes out a week after my baby is born.
Oh, boy.
To play that for a day solid,
yeah,
realistic or unrealistic expectation?
I think it's realistic, okay, early good. On. I think, because here's the thing. Guild Wars, if you have to be a part of like a group or a raid where there's a level, but if you can hit pause, you know what I mean, and go help out with a kid for an hour, because that's the thing.
An hour?
Or even more, like, or it could be even more, but when they're early on like that, they're on such short chunks that bite-sized pieces of routine, and you get a bunch of breaks. And then as they get older, the breaks just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as they take bigger naps and longer naps and sleep better in the night. And then when you add a second one, then they don't add up, and then there's never any downtime.
I see.
Because they know you, it's really hard to get them to line up at the same time.
So you said there's something that you like to close your shows with.
Yeah. So we usually do a moment of the week where you share a moment of the week with your child. But
I do have one.
Oh, okay, great. Or we could close out with some suburban rage if you want to just complain about what we quote unquote would call white guy problems or something like that. Where white terrorists hate us. So I'll throw it to you. You can do whatever you prefer. It doesn't matter. Or we could do a little bit of each if you would like.
I'll do a little bit of each.
All right, we'll start. Here, we'll do this. We'll start with some suburban rage. And because I had some free time in Indianapolis, I made this.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That PTA bitch giving you the stink eye. The drive-thru just screwed up your order. And your neighbor's Yorkie Terrier doesn't stop fucking barking. That's right. You don't have real problems. It sounds like you have suburban rage.
So my instance of suburban rage, I think, is something that everybody can agree with and has had some instance of, where you're in a hurry, you have some place to be. Maybe it's even as bad as you're picking the kids up from school and you're trying to make that right turn on the red light.
Yeah.
And these jackasses, usually driving some kind of Yukon, Tahoe, suburban situation. It's usually a 5'2" mother of 18 who doesn't know how to handle a rig that size, will pull up in the center of the lane. You see, the driving lane is supposed to, and every driving instructor will tell you, you're supposed to hug the left side. That dotted line is where you're supposed to be, so that somebody like me who's got shit to do can pull up to the right side and then turn right on that red light.
Yeah.
But no, you're blocking me, and now I got to sit there because you're not turning right. You don't even have any business being in that fucking lane. And you're going to go straight to only have to cut off people to your left because there are parked cars in the street ahead of you. But that's what you want to be, because you're going to, fucking slow me down where I got to be. So that's my instance of where I would like to take, I don't know, maybe some kind of 50 caliber weapon or something like that. I don't want to hurt people, just their vehicle. They get insurance for that. You know what I mean? We have hit and run insurance. Why not have some kind of, high caliber weaponry insurance? That if I decide to hit a 50 cal right through your differential gear and knock out your rear axle, then why not? Let's have some fun.
Does this show have a phone number?
Because
my wife goes through suburban rage about every 15 minutes.
All right.
I hear stories like what you just described. always when we're driving, and anytime I listen to her. She always has a story. I'm having a hard time pulling up something at that level. She just walked into the room. It's true, dear. You have so many angry rage, suburban rage stories, so many white people problem stories. You're looking very tan. Where have you been? She's looking pink, right?
Yeah.
Isn't she? Yeah. She's hot. Yeah. Oh. Okay. All right. So my suburban rage. We just moved into this place here in North Hollywood, mm-hmm. and we have gardeners. Our place in Hollywood, we were on the fourth story, like penthouse. Yeah. We could keep the windows open 24/7 and the doors open, sliding glass doors, because nobody was going to get into our house. We're in the top story of this penthouse. It wasn't a penthouse, but we were in the corner unit. Nobody was around. We could look, like, we'd have the doors open. We'd just look out outside all the time. We move here. You have to lock the place down because there are people 8 feet away from us. And in Tuesday mornings, the gardeners arrive.
Yep.
And that's annoying, and we knew that was going to happen. We also live near the Burbank Airport, so we hear the airplanes flying over. We've adjusted to the noise. This isn't about the noise. What I don't understand is why the gardeners need to break our fence. Like, when we first moved here, we came out one day and we're like, what happened to the fence? And they just, three or four of the slats are gone and on the floor and broken in half, like, and they just sit there.
Does the leaf blower guy have a turbine engine?
I don't know. Come out! I'm like, what did you do? And then I went into the backyard and I have a watering can that I've had for 10 years, and it's broken and shattered, and like pieces of it are all over the yard, missing now. I'm like, what is he doing out of there? I don't understand. And then
why?
We came. I looked, and Kat sent a picture to me. She came back from lunch because they were late one day, and she's like, they did stuff. We have a little patio that we set up, and the gardener removed the tarp that we had sitting over the table, pulled that off, set it over another chair, and like rearranged the chair so he could, I don't know, eat lunch or watch TV. I don't know. He didn't put it back. We wouldn't have known if he had just put it back, but he completely rearranged things and put things on stuff. I'm like, what? Glad we had a break area for you, buddy.
Right.
So that's
gardeners are annoying. That reminds me of another one, and then we'll move on. I do laundry at my house, and I don't understand why it is that only women clothing has specific instructions that no other article of clothing needs. Like I feel like my wife has three shirts, so I could wash our entire wardrobe in maybe 1.5 full loads, or split it up into two medium sized loads in a week. But there are always these three odd man out shirts that need gentle cycle cold water with eco friendly solution detergent that is kissed with the crocodile tear, and please only dry them when Jupiter is in the seventh house of Aquarius. And
I think they buy them because of that. I think that's a sign that it's a good.
Well, if I was
shirt.
A woman, I would just be like, no, fuck you, I'm not buying your shirt. Like,
no, you
make everything wrinkle free.
You would buy it because you think it's cool. That it
no,
requires.
That's unfair to chicks.
Nah,
I think chicks unnecessarily get up in arms about whatever your wife gets angry about when she's driving, and less about their clothing and how it needs
depends
to fall
the,
in line.
Depends on the lady.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends on the lady.
That's true. All right, so let's do moment of the week. I'm excited. Are you going to do a moment of the week with my kid? Is that your plan?
No, I'm going to do a moment of the week with my kid.
Your kid? Oh! Yeah. That didn't work the way... Oh, there it is.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moment of the week will end with yours. It actually combines both of my kids. I talked about it a little bit on our other show.
Did they become Super Baby?
Yes.
Finally! Billy.
They, I was playing with both the kids, and Jacob pulled out his, or actually Jack found Jacob's little remote control Spider-Man on an ATV or whatever. So they can't really drive it, obviously. And so I was, you know, running around. And Jack, because he's pretty mobile, crawling, almost walking, can move pretty quick now. And he was fascinated by this thing scurrying around. So he starts chasing it. And I start pretending to be Spider-Man, going, oh, no, this killer baby is after me. And Jacob is laughing hysterically. Just, ha, 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 you know, that deep, like, cackling laugh, like he can barely breathe. And it was great because I could do circles around Jack, and his baby brain couldn't make it move fast enough to where he could just swat it,
right,
which turns him into like a funny claymation baby version of King Kong, like where he's like, just trying to swat at it with a whole hand, like it's those airplanes circling around the Empire State Building.
I want to play that game.
It was a lot of fun. At one point, I was able to, because he had his legs pretty far apart, I was able to drive it right between him.
Oh, it's small. So
oh, yeah, it's real dinky. It's like
great.
It's like maybe the size of 2 to 4 Hot Wheels, like stacked on top of each
that's
other.
Great.
So, yeah, we were just racing it all around, and he couldn't catch it, and he was laughing, and they were laughing, and it was a shit ton
of
fun. That's
adorable. You need to get that on the YouTubes.
I know. I wish I would. I want to record the audio of them laughing because I'm really starting to dig it.
I heard the prerequisite for that is that you want to choke the living shit out of them.
Yeah.
I haven't had that moment yet,
right,
but my wife has, being a pregnant lady, mm-hmm, like I can't get up to lean forward on the coffee table or get out of a car without being achy.
But she can eat chips off of her stomach,
which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And this past Saturday, we were hanging out in the bed, and the baby was moving a lot inside of her belly. And we spent, you know, we often, whenever it's moving, we put a hand on there to see if we can feel the tail.
Yeah.
And we always reference your bit about trying to feel for the tail, and it feels like a little octopus because it's got elbows and knees and stuff and so many different moving parts. But we were sitting there for longer than I think I can calculate. It was a very long time pushing on the stomach, and he would push back, like it almost to the point where it was a game,
like interacting.
Like, yeah, like push, and then he would push back, and then she took video, and it you know, because in the beginning it's just sort of like,
so like you would almost push, like you're and then you would let go, and then you would see it poke back
or,
in the same
like,
spot,
or to the point where he wouldn't do anything, but the moment I put my hand on his stomach, on her stomach, I just sort of push a little, and he knew it was there, and I could, and he would push back into my hand. So, and he wouldn't do it for her, he would only do it when I put my hand on. So we had all these great videos of like man hand touching her stomach, and then ripple from the baby moving. I was like, not bad. We still need a name for him though. No clue what we're gonna call this kid, but
you'll figure it out when you see
who wrote this book. Gary and Janine.
Yeah, that's Janine's
good.
A good boy's name.
A good name.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our show. And don't forget to give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Click through the link. Please keep telling people about the show. There's a link on there. Somebody recently subscribed, and then somebody canceled their paid subscription, which
good
I thought
story.
Was hilarious.
It's a great story.
I know. I'm very good. But well, this is what comes out of my mouth when I'm not thinking. But it made me laugh because I'm like, hey, I got another one. Oh, somebody canceled. But anyway, if you want to do a paid subscription to support the show, I would appreciate it. But hang on for a little bit because I'm switching over to a different system that it makes it easier for me to like give you other content and additional content. So
cool.
We might be able to do like a premium situation where maybe you can either have extended episodes or more episodes in a week or whatever. Or if you're like, you know what, screw it, because I can cancel it at any time, or you can cancel it at any time. You're like, and you want to support the show, give us $2. Just go to thedadpodcast.com. And you type in your little PayPal. You say, I want to subscribe, and then boom, and it sets it up through PayPal to give us $2 a month. That's all you got to do. Or if you're like, I don't want to do that, jerk, then here's what you could do. You could click on the Amazon banner. Every time you get something from Amazon, we get some money from there. That's how you could support us. Or you could just keep telling people about the show and getting them to subscribe through iTunes. I recently had somebody comment. They're like, man, you guys got a lot of ratings on iTunes. So thanks again for giving us all the positive rating on iTunes. And I think that's it. So, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.